Sometimes in our spiritual history, it's very comforting to have people like St. Peter around, because he raises some of the same issues that we think about. You know, like he had just declared Christ to be the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, the Savior. And because of that, Christ, in I think as Matthew's Gospel said, I will make you the head of the church. And he blessed him for his thought, his insight, and said that it really was, that it was a gift from God that he had. But then very shortly after this, after he's praising Peter, very short time after that, Jesus goes on to say what he's really about, that he came into this world to teach us a way of life, and the way of life that he's going to teach us has a degree of suffering and struggle and difficulty and self-denial and that kind of stuff. And for Christ, it went even further, as it does for some Christians even to this day, where he said he would be rejected by the people, by the leaders of the people, he would be crucified, and he would die. But he would rise again in 3 days. So when he started talking about that, you know, Peter, who is, I'm sure, feeling that the Lord just patted him on the back, that it was pretty good stuff, he's thinking, you know, you don't tell people that. I mean, if you're trying to draw a crowd and keep a crowd following you, the last thing you have to tell them is that you're going to suffer and so will they. So Peter's trying to tell him, Lord, you know, this isn't the way it's going to work. You can't do that. And so Jesus' response to him was, get behind me, Satan. Because I'm sure in the human nature of Jesus that he was also struggling with this idea that he was going to have to be rejected by everybody, that he was going to suffer, he was going to be beaten, he's going to die. I'm sure that was very difficult for him to deal with too. So he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking with the mind of God. You're thinking as a human being. See, and that's what we all tend to do. We tend to think very much where we are. Now, most of us, unless there's something wrong with you, don't like to suffer. If there's something wrong with you, maybe it may be what you do. But most of us don't like to suffer. We would do whatever we can to avoid it. So I don't think Jesus here is talking to us about, you know, beating yourself or, you know, doing that kind of stuff, deliberately making yourself sick or, you know, the things that we really find very uncomfortable and undesirable, we just don't want them. I'm sure Jesus is not talking about that stuff. But what he's trying to tell us is simply this, that if you're going to follow me, which we all profess we're going to do, there's always going to be some suffering and pain involved. Because if we're going to follow Jesus, it means that we put Christ first, that he's first in our lives. And so to do what he wants sometimes is not always the easiest. We would rather go with the crowd. We would rather carry on with them. We would rather, you know, not have to worry about these little things that we call sins. So if we're going to put Christ first, that means that we're going to have to deny ourselves. And that's kind of the cross that most human beings have to carry. He said, if you're going to be my follower, you have to do what I do. And that's not always easy. And you do it for Christ, and you do it for the common good, for the good of everybody. See, there was a time in our world when that was a little bit more common, when people thought about that a lot more. You know, they weren't always so much concerned. I mean, you have to be concerned about your well-being, your health, and your taking care of your family and the responsibilities that you have. You have to be concerned about those things. But he says you also need to be concerned about the common good. And if we do what Christ asks us to do, that's built in. Because in following Christ, we think of what is good for my neighbor. We operate from the principle of love. We operate from the principle of love, and we do things because we want good for other people. And to do that means that sometimes I don't get it for myself. I remember one time, a whole lot of years ago, the parish I was working in had a school, and they had to charge tuition, obviously, because you can't run a school without some kind of income to pay teachers and staff and that sort of thing. So anyway, a couple came to talk to me. They wanted their children in school. And I said, well, why don't you have them in school? They both were working. Well, they just didn't have the extra money to pay whatever it was in those days. And so all the time they're talking to me, they're smoking, both of them. And so I said, well, how much do you smoke a week? Oh, between the two of us, about 6 cartons. I said, oh. I said, do you drink? Well, yeah. We drink an 8-pack a day. And I said, you know, I'm not really fast this math nowadays, but I said, I think if you cut those in half, you would have more than enough money to pay your kids' tuition. They walked out and never came back. Obviously, it wasn't that important to them. They were not willing to make that. They weren't willing to make that kind of a sacrifice for the education of their kids. Yeah, and we do that so much in our society today. We've got the bad reputation of being a me society. It all focuses around me and what I want and how I do it, when I want it, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's really becoming very damaging to everybody. People can't talk to you. People can't hold a door for you. And if you do, they don't know how to say thank you if you hold it for them. It's just like all of a sudden we become so absorbed in ourselves that we don't even recognize that other people are around. Or maybe we don't even want them around. Unfortunately, we've gotten into this in our society. And you know, and it is not Christian. It is not Christian. We can say, well, we're good Christians, but if we're falling into the same patterns, we are not thinking of doing what Christ asked first, thinking about the common good before ourselves. We're just not doing that. It's all about me. So Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, it's not going to be easy for you all the time, because we have to give up things that maybe we don't want to give up. You know, a mother doesn't want to sit up with a sick child all night, but she does. She's willing to do that. A father may be willing to move for a job so that he can support his family the way he feels he needs to support his family. It may be very, very difficult for him and for his whole family. Very difficult to leave family and friends and neighborhoods, familiar places. But if it's for the good of his family, he's willing to do that. We can go on all kinds of examples. But think about teachers in school these days, you know. They have to deal with a lot of difficult stuff. Somehow or another, they get up the next morning and go back because they know they have something to offer to the young people who have minds open and are willing to absorb. It takes something out of them. There has to be something of the love of God and the common good in their hearts to want to do that every day. So we think about that. And St. James, I love that letter. He's very blunt about things. He said, if you claim you have faith and you don't do anything about it, he said, your faith is lifeless, it's dead. You know, that was a big dispute with Martin Luther, remember. It was a big issue of faith and works. And I think to this day, the Lutheran Church holds that it's faith alone that's necessary. Well, we've always maintained that the works are necessary. Because what the works are is simply a manifestation of the fact that I believe and that I'm living that. And the good works follow from that. So Peter again helps us out quite a bit. By the things he says, sometimes we are very much reminded that, you know, here we are, human beings. He ascended pretty high. And we're happy to see that because he was human. He probably thought like many of us think sometimes, and we say things that maybe we haven't thought through too well. And so he's a good example for us. But when the Lord spoke to him and said, Peter, get behind me. You're not thinking the way I think, the way God thinks. You're thinking like a human being. I want you to begin to think in terms of God, in things of, in, like things of Christ. Who is he? What did he do? What did he show me? What did he give to me? And he said, and that's what I want you to do for others. So that's faith that manifests itself in good works.